All right, Javed, we're back in office architecture world. Tell us about, who are you again? What do you do?
Well, my name is Javed Sikander. I'm an architect in the Developer and Platform Evangelism Group. And I focus on creating reference architectures and examples of building business applications, business solutions using the office system. And I think last time we met, we talked about this
OBA
concept of OBA, Office Business Applications.
Yeah.
It's been a year since.
At least,
So since then, we have been doing a lot of great work. The developers and architects out there are using the office system and building all these applications. Just to recap, essentially, OBA or OBA or Office Business Application is an application built using the Microsoft Office system, like the core features of SharePoint. You know, workflow, business development, I mean, business data catalogs, using SharePoint document libraries to store different types of content, enable structured and unstructured collaboration between people using the workflow foundation as part of SharePoint. So using the power of SharePoint platform and then bringing the familiarity of Office clients. So there are, you know, millions of users out there who use Office clients on a daily basis. So the idea of OBA is, how do I bring that familiarity of Office clients into my business application world? And it's doing pretty good since we announced it a year ago. And there are quite a few companies who are building these apps, doing great stuff.
Yeah. Cool. So, you know, what are we here today to talk about then? I mean, you know, what's going on?
Yeah, today we are announcing a very exciting OBA composition reference toolkit. So in the past, we have created this OBA reference applications. So last time we talked, I think that was the time when we were announcing the supply chain reference applications. Since then, we built reference applications for financial services, loan origination. We built few around BI kind of scenarios like plant floor analytics. We built a few more around collaboration like health management and whatnot in different industries. So while we are building all these different reference applications, the developers and architects out there, they're using the systems to kind of learn how to do this and extend it to their environments. And they've been giving a lot of feedback to us. And one of the things they have said was that, you know, Microsoft has got great tools. You know, you have SharePoint Designer that a power user can use to extend workflows. And then you have Visual Studios where developers can go and create this ASP.NET controls and web parts. And then you have Visual Studio Tools for Office where developers can extend the Office client in their applications. And OBA kind of brings all these different assets together. And what these guys are saying, hey, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we have a mashup kind of an environment to use all these different components and mash up a OBA? So we kind of got that feedback many different times, and we were thinking about it. And, you know, 6 months ago, we decided, hey, let's do it. So what we are announcing today is essentially the availability of a reference toolkit on MSDN that will allow developers and information workers to work with these initial set of components that we're seeding as part of this gallery, and I'll get into that a little bit. But essentially, it's a toolkit that allows people to create OBAs very easily.
Interesting. So let me ask you this. I mean, I'm not an Office platform developer. I never have been. I mean, I tried to hack around back in the day to automate Excel using like VBScript or whatever it was given to me at the point. But or, you know, not very much work at it. So let me ask you this. What is my environment as a developer? So you say you have the sort of mashup toolkit, but I'm using Visual Studio, right? I mean, that's what I know and I love, right? The debugger and everything else.
Right.
And so that's what I'm using, and I'm writing OBA applications in Visual Studio.
Right.
And so you've basically given me like some DLLs.
Right.
And
yeah. So essentially, yeah. So if you're a developer building these sort of things using Visual Studio. Essentially, if you think of an OBA, which is a combination of all these different artifacts. Mm. So, you know, you have web parts, you have site templates, you have document libraries. They are kind of stitched together. Mm. Workflows are associated with documents. And then these documents you extend in the sense you bring in business data into a Word document, for example. You open a custom task pane to bring in data from your back-end line of business system. So, for example, you know, if you are a... the fundamental premise here is that users feel more comfortable in the office environment, sure. and they are more productive in the office environment than they are in their back-end line of business systems.
Sure.
So, so for example, if you're approving purchase orders or if you're finding more information about your customers and whatnot, you would want to be able to do that right within some of the office clients that you always use. So if you are a financial analyst, for example, you always live in the world of Excel. Mm-hmm. You do not want to go to a line of business system, log in, and collect some data, and then come back and copy it in Excel to do the analysis.
Absolutely.
So the idea of extending some of this functionality into the office world. So that's the concept of OBUS. So mm-hmm. the developers, if you're a developer, you're writing all these different pieces of code to make all these things happen. But you know, step back and think about it a little bit from a business world. You know, mm-hmm. what is going on right now in the business environment is that businesses are looking for great deal of agility, you know, great deal of speed, if you will, mm-hmm. to respond to all the different types of changes that are happening. They want to adopt new business models. They want to go and dominate new global markets. They want to make their supply chains more efficient. You know, because of that, essentially there is more and more pressure, if you will, that's put on the business users to analyze information and to do more in many different ways. And if they translate all these into requirements for the information technology or IT departments to build these applications, obviously the IT has their own challenges with existing systems and whatnot.
Sure.
So what you need is a way where developers like, you know, what you described when you were writing code, are essentially creating maybe higher level of abstractions of components that then the information workers can assemble this and create applications on the fly, if you will.
Yeah.
Right? You know, there is this concept of, I don't know if you've heard this concept called situational applications.
Hmm.
So essentially, these are applications that are created for maybe a small number of users around a very specific need for a short period of time, and they are, you know, dismantled after that. So think about a team
sure.
collaboration site, for example. You know, you're running a marketing campaign, you create this site, you do all this analysis. Once the campaign is over, you know, that site is no longer needed.
Mm-hmm.
So these kind of applications are the long tail of apps in a large IT environment, in an enterprise environment. So what we have done here today in terms of this composition toolkit is essentially we have allowed the developers to package their artifacts in a way that maybe the information workers can play and create these situational applications, which in this case are office business applications.
Mm.
So it's a very exciting, I mean, this kind of a concept existed in the consumer world. So, for example, you would go to a Popfly or a Yahoo
yeah.
Pipe, you know, to create a mashup where you mash up information feeds from multiple sources, and you know, you create a, you know, for example, using Popfly, you could take your Facebook friends and you could, based on their locations, map them on a virtual earth, for example, you know, create an interesting mashup like that. So the concept exists in the consumer world. In the enterprise world, also the concept exists. And it's called composite applications. However, the composite applications are kind of restricted to composing services. You know, so the idea is that, you know, if I have a large SOA project, you know, I look at my IT environment and I say, okay, one way to solve this integration mess is to build these services facades in front of all my applications. and provide a some sort of service aggregation, refactoring of services, and then maybe bring these services into some sort of a user-specific application, you know, to compose these services into an app. Mm-hmm. But here, with the Uber Composition Reference Toolkit, we provide a environment where you can compose not only some of these service endpoints, but also other artifacts like a presentation component, or a business logic, or process, or data from your line of business system.
Nice.
So
that's cool. So it's a very compositional model,
yeah,
where you are building individual components that can be shareable,
right,
and extendable,
right. Absolutely.
Which is very nice. So you could have a community of composers.
Exactly.
I like that. That's cool.
Exactly. So essentially we are driving a lot of reuse. The idea here is that the components could be reused in many different scenarios. Mm. So let me give you a sneak preview of how it's going to look like on the whiteboard, and I'll point you to the demos and whatnot. You could essentially view a demo and start using it.
Great.
So essentially, if you take a Office Business application, it consists of a bunch of things. I would say, different web parts that bring data from different line of business systems, maybe using some sort of BDC, app devs. There are different documents, like maybe InfoPath forms, or some sort of Excel spreadsheets. There are different workflows that could be kind of associated with these documents. There are probably document libraries where these different documents are published, and workflows are associated with these libraries as people submit documents. And so think about all these different components being stitched together in a very difficult to use way, mm-hmm, to create the OBA. So what we have done here is, instead of providing all this, to sort of clean up this mess, what we are providing is something called an OBA Composer, which is essentially a WPF app.
Nice.
And what it does is it provides you a gallery of different OBA components, like web parts, doc libraries, documents, workflows, bunch of things. And then these are all searchable, so you could come and search, I need web parts for a particular scenario, like I want web parts for an insurance scenario, or I need web parts for a purchase order kind of a scenario. So you could search these components in many different ways.
Nice.
And what happens is that it essentially gives you a list of the components that you search for, mm-hmm, and once you select the component, it kind of gets dropped onto a design surface. And so for example, there is a web part that you're interested in, gets dragged and dropped on a design surface.
Nice.
And then, not only that, if this web part depends on a particular BDC app dev, so that it pulls data from the backend system, mm-hmm, if there's a hard dependency, then that particular component also automatically gets dropped on this design surface. Similarly, if there are particular documents that are needed for supporting this web part, then you get those document components also present on this, including some sort of doc libraries, document libraries to support these documents. So once you get all these components, you could simply say, provision this OBA for me. And then it deploys magically all this onto a SharePoint site that you have already pointed this application to.
Wow.
It provisions this OBA on the fly, just like that. All the features get created, all the content types get registered. You don't have to do all that stuff. You have a completely functioning OBA that you can now start playing with.
Wow.
And not only that, there are a lot of VSTA components, you know, the Office Client components mm-hmm. also that are part of this component gallery.
Nice.
So if you, you know, select some of these components, then it creates a separate sort of separate site where these components are installed, and these are one-click installs. So you go and click on it, then it adds a new ribbon, a new custom task pane to your Office clients. And then once you play with that, you can come back and say, you know what, I've played with it, I want to add a few more components and extend the scenario and provision it, and it again goes back to the, you know, extending the over. So you can build essentially an Office business application using a composition metaphor,
nice.
And you can build it incrementally. You could build it and, you know, go and use it for and see how it works, and then come back and keep adding more components.
So, I mean, let's step back on that really quickly. So what you're saying is if I make my first OVA in this environment, deploy it, the SharePoint site's created for me, everything's stitched together. When I want to then add things, it's basically, it remains compositional in the sense that the whole thing doesn't have to get rebuilt again. I'm just tacking new things onto
Absolutely.
It. So that's good. So it really is compositional. The other question I would have is with you, does this composer hook into, say, a web service that provides web parts and
right.
various tools? And
that's a great segue into some of the deployment scenarios, Charles.
Cool.
So now this OVA composer essentially works with, think about this as a OVA composition server. Okay, this server is sort of the brain behind this composer. What it does is it provides a metadata service and a provisioning service. So the magic here, there's a lot of heavy lifting that is going on in the back.
Sure.
You know, so for example, these components, they expose a set of metadata that the server understands, and based on that server knows that this component is actually dependent on this other component to function. Or this component, when it is used in an OVA, these other three components bring value to that component. So that based on all that information, the server kind of uses this metadata to provide all these components. Then the server also understands or generates the metadata for the end OVA. Mm. So, you know, where it needs to be deployed and what components goes into that OVA, what are the VSTU components, the client-side components, how should it be provisioned, and all that information is also captured and used by the server.
Sure.
Now, the server definitely works with something. Think about it as a OVA component repository. So think about all these components living in a repository, and the server essentially publishes the metadata about these components to the client, and once you create the composition on the client, then the server picks up the appropriate components and provisions this to some sort of a SharePoint host. Okay. Now, the scenario, the deployment scenario number one that we are supporting with this launch this time is that essentially you would create a playground, you know, within your environment, a SharePoint host, mm-hmm. that you would point this thing to. And then whenever you create this different OVA compositions, the solutions get deployed to that playground, okay? But another scenario could be that the essentially the repository could be essentially in the cloud.
Sure.
So where people can be publishing a lot of new components, and the composer could be within your four walls, mm-hmm. and it's talking to the repository that's in the cloud somewhere and getting all that information about metadata about the components, allowing you to create components. Once you're ready to provision a OVA, what you could say, here is my favorite hoster. You know, go and create this OVA on that favorite hoster's, you know, SharePoint form that hoster has created. Mm. Especially if I'm hosting some of my line of business systems, it is quite possible that I can have that hoster support the same configuration of the SharePoint that we require here. And then every time you create these Office Business applications using this composition tool, you deploy it to your favorite hoster's hosted instance, and then you go back and write the adapters to your backend systems, and then you start using some of these applications. So that's another scenario where it is a software plus service scenario where the composer is on-premise and the repository and the SharePoint hosting itself is in the cloud.
Outstanding.
And, you know, another scenario is we have various partners we worked with to create some of these components. Another scenario is that an ISV, a solution vendor, can take this entire toolkit that we have created and the reference code that we will publish on CodePlex and essentially extend the component repository with their favorite components within their solutions that they support.
Excellent.
And then they can launch a, you know, an ISV specific version of the component library. You know, and you know, similarly, the service integrators, they can build some artifacts around the services they sell around SharePoint. And then when they go to the customer, they can say, hey, these are the initial assets that we bring to the table. You're looking to deploy SharePoint for your, you know, collaboration kind of a scenario in your manufacturing company. Well, we have these 200 different components, including web parts and different documents that model a purchase order or model an invoice and whatnot. We have all these different components that we bring to the table, and we will work with you to stitch together all these solutions for you. So there are these different scenarios that our partners can benefit with in this kind of an environment.
Interesting. Now, I mean, does this tie in at all to Office Live? I mean,
Right now, we do not have plans to do that.
Okay.
This is now one disclaimer here, Charles, is that my group launches reference applications.
Sure.
So this is also a reference toolkit. So it's not a supported Microsoft product per se, but we make the code available hopefully pretty soon on CodePlex and create a community around extending this code. So one idea we have is, obviously, when we talk about composition in the enterprise, you know, there's a lot of security and governance concerns. I mean, this could essentially result in a lot of headache for the IT departments if you don't provide the right governance structures. So one other thing we are looking at extending this, on one hand, we want to work with the community and create a vibrant community of developers creating all these great components that go into this repository. You know, so components that are specific to industries, you know, components for manufacturing processes, components for retail and financial services industries. Also a lot of horizontal components, you know, components that light up different back-end data, components that work with CRM systems and whatnot. So we want to build a vibrant community of developers who build out these components. But at the same time, we want to work with the developer community out there to keep extending this toolkit so that you can expand it to address some of the IT governance and whatnot processes. So this is a reference application, a reference toolkit. It essentially illustrates some of the best practices, composition best practices that exist in the Office system. You know, I mean, what we're doing here is when you see the demo, it looks like magic, but essentially these are features and functions supported by the underlying Office system. We are exploiting it in a different way. So the idea is to illustrate the composition best practices using this reference toolkit. And once developers start using this and fully appreciate the fact that SharePoint, Microsoft Office, SharePoint Server, and the entire Office system is nothing but a platform to build these composite applications. And what we have here is a tool that makes it very easy.
So it's a tool that makes it very easy, and at the same time, it's like a super excellent demo of what's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's definitely is a great demo of what's possible.
Now, I would just say this. I mean, since that's a WPF app, and most of the heavy magic's happening you mentioned could happen in the server environment. Now, the server can still be running on the client. You know, it's called
yeah,
a server.
In the cloud, too.
And in the cloud, obviously, that's like the software for services model. But you could also, since you wrote it in WPF, could probably do this in Silverlight.
Yes.
Which would be another compelling scenario, would be I use my web browser to build SharePoint applications using a very nice experience. Now, obviously, could be challenging with the design surface and stuff like that. I mean,
exactly.
But my point is, developers are going to be free to play around with this stuff
exactly.
and extend it.
Absolutely. So, what you know, this is an idea, mm-hmm. and there is some follow up to the idea with the reference toolkit. But essentially, it can potentially put developers on a path to explore more and mm-hmm. do more with this kind of a. You know, idea and environment. And the concept of enterprise mashups and composite applications is the way to go. You know, the paradigm shift in the application space is I do not want to build everything from scratch. If I can compose higher level of components into my full solution and very easily, very quickly. Mm-hmm. So I think this would be a great tool for developers to learn. It's a very easy to learn tool in terms of composition, mm-hmm. but they can open up the hood and go in the code and see how all this is done.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're a developer working in a kind of a building solutions kind of an environment, then we have very good published guidelines on how to create these components, how to expose the metadata for these components, how to create the installs so that these components get recognized by the repository and the server. So you could use all that guidance and create the components that you know make sense for you or within your domain. But if you are a developer who likes to kind of play with the server side of things and figure out, hey, you know, I really want to understand this toolkit and extend it, mm-hmm. you know, you're most welcome. You know, as the project becomes available on CodePlex, you could push the limits on what this thing can do.
Mm-hmm.
And I do want to see a community of developers working with us, and we will be sharing some of our ideas further to extend the toolkit and do more with it.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, you know, the Office Developer Conference is going on right now.
Right.
And that's, you know, clearly you guys have, you know, if you can create an Office Developer Conference, clearly you have a community of devs out there, right?
Oh, yeah.
So, it is interesting to see how far your platform has evolved over the past like 4 or 5 years, right? With VSTO, when you first got managed code in there.
Absolutely.
I know that Eric Lippert and company had to do a lot of heavy magic to pull that off in the early stages.
Absolutely. So we have a very good, vibrant developer community using the tools and the platform, Office platform. That community is now building these Office business applications. So some of the work that they have been doing, now they have a sort of like a category that has been created around Office business applications. So we have I travel and go meet these developers and architects around the world, and they're really excited about what can be done with these sort of things. As a matter of fact, a couple of weeks ago I was meeting some customers in the life sciences industry, and it's amazing how a scientist, for example, in a drug research kind of a environment, if you follow the kind of work these scientists do in terms of the information that they create and the way they interact with the information, it's very clear that a lot of this innovation that we see in the way you work and I work has not made its way all the way back to some of these labs.
Sure.
And, you know, they can definitely benefit from creating Office business applications, having a SharePoint kind of a content management environment where they can collect the results of all the experiments they're doing, make those results searchable so that they can go and search for a molecular structure and it goes and search in the results that they have created.
Nice.
So there's a lot of innovation that is still needs to happen. I think the developer community out there would definitely see more and more demand for their skills as the SharePoint adoption itself continues to grow.
Absolutely. Well, hey, this is really exciting. And And from the last conversation we had today, it's clear that OPA's come a very long way.
It has, yeah.
And to the extent that now, I mean, if you look at your design surface over there, the OPA Composer, that's actually designed for non-developers, which is great.
Right.
Because it's the end users as well in the enterprise and also out in the real world, scientists that might want to put pieces together, not know how to actually build the pieces.
That's
a very cool model, very composable.
Yeah, it allows the end users and developers to kind of work in a very very good balance, where developers could be creating these components, and information workers could be assembling these and creating the mashups or compositions that they need.
Outstanding. Well, hey, great job, man.
Thank you, Charles.
And I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Bye-bye.